home in rural Mid Wales, where I've lived now for nearly 40 years, our local churches, little village churches, most of them, are just coming to the end of the traditional harvest Thanksgiving season. Over the past few weeks, we have been making a particular point of thanking God for his goodness and generosity to us. Our lovely little churches were beautifully decorated with flowers and harvest fruits, and many parishioners had the chance to get together after the services to share a harvest lunch or supper. We all recognized that despite the poor harvests in some crops this year, it was right for us to come together to thank God for all his gifts to us. Sadly, it isn't always easy to feel thankful, especially as we watch the TV news or listen to the radio day by day. Scenes of millions of people in Pakistan, driven from their homes by the catastrophic flooding and now threatened with starvation and disease. Scenes of violence and suffering and poverty in the Middle East or Africa, South America, or so many other places. Scenes of destruction and helplessness in Haiti after the devastating earthquake in January. Pictures of innocent people held hostage or murdered by terrorists, pirates, and just those who have a grudge against humanity. All these can make the world seem somber and frightening, and human beings very fragile and vulnerable. Yet our readings this morning show us that in the midst of pain and suffering and even despair, there are always signs of hope. Our God is a God of love and compassion and healing, and there is much to thank him for. Both our Old Testament and Gospel readings are about God's gift of healing and about our need to give thanks for this. In our reading from the second book of Kings, chapter 5, we had the story of Naaman the Aramean general, who was healed of leprosy by Elisha the prophet. Then Luke gives us an account of how Jesus healed 10 lepers. On the surface, these are both straightforward descriptions of the healing of those in great need. It's impossible to miss the marked similarities between the two stories, but there is much more to them than this. As so often in the Bible, there are many layers of meaning in the apparently simplest account. In the case of our readings this morning, as well as telling us two moving and memorable stories of healing, they also teach us a great deal about God and about ourselves. Firstly, both healings involved people of a different race and religion from the person who healed them. Naaman was an Aramean, and his people were traditional enemies of the Israelites. Yet this man was so desperate that he was willing to cross these difficult barriers of race and religion to seek healing from the Israelite prophet Elisha. Luke tells us that the 10 lepers who came to Jesus for healing included at least one Samaritan. As we know from elsewhere in the New Testament, Jews and Samaritans were also traditional enemies. Yet in their isolation and rejection, these men were also able to cross the long-standing barriers between Jew and Samaritan to seek comfort and healing from Jesus. So both stories teach us an important lesson, that God doesn't concern himself with our little human pigeonholes of race or color or creed. He doesn't keep his gifts of healing just for those who think of themselves as his chosen people, whether Jew or Christian. Our God is a God who breaks down the barriers we put up so readily between ourselves and others, and asks us to do the same. The second point of similarity between the two stories is the sheer simplicity of the way in which God works to heal. In our Old Testament reading, Elisha merely told Naaman to go and wash himself 7 times in the River Jordan. It was so simple an action that Naaman felt cheated. He'd expected some great show of healing power from this famous prophet, not just this one-line command. If he couldn't have a personal demonstration of Elisha's power, then surely his native rivers could provide a better means of healing than any river in the despised land of Israel. Naaman had to learn that so often God doesn't work in the way we expect. God is so far beyond all our presuppositions and little prejudices that all we can do is to trust ourselves to him and gratefully accept what he chooses to give us. Turning to our gospel reading, we see the same simplicity in what Jesus told the 10 men to do. All that was needed was for them to have the trust and courage to go and show themselves to the priests, because this was, of course, the only way that they could be declared clean. The priests were the only ones with the authority to admit them again into the community which had shunned them. It was such a simple action that most of them didn't even bother to come back to Jesus and thank him. I think that both these stories teach us that God usually works in our world in small and undramatic ways rather than in great displays of power. And like Naaman, I think we often feel cheated by this. We too want God to show his power unmistakably, rather than to have to discern God's presence and activity in the small, ordinary, even boring events of everyday life. The third thing we learn from these two stories is that gratitude is an essential human attitude and experience. We all need to know how to give thanks when it is due, if we are to be fully human, completely healed and whole. Yet sadly, we often don't find it even easy to do this, especially when the person we ought to thank is someone we would really rather not be beholden to. And yet Naaman didn't hesitate. As soon as he was healed, he went straight to Elisha to thank him and to acknowledge the God who had worked through him. Similarly, the Samaritan came straight back to Jesus to thank him and to give praise to God. In doing this, he was the only one of the 10 to hear Jesus proclaim his complete healing. If we take things for granted, if we don't stop to thank God and other people for all that they do for us, then we become less human, less than the people God wants us to be. Gratitude is a healing emotion, one which recognizes the proper balance of things. Gratitude puts us in a right relationship with God and with those around us. So even though the harvest and our harvest thanksgiving are past for another year, even though it's often far from easy to feel thankful in the presence of war and terror, of poverty and illness and human suffering, still we must come to God with all our joys and sorrows, and in our Eucharist, literally our thanksgiving, offer to him all that we are, the good and the bad, our strengths and our weaknesses, for him to bless us and to make us whole. Amen.